Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and you'll never guess I am on the road. Yes, traveling again. Nowhere extraordinary or extraordinary, just to the next town. But I wanted to give a huge reminder that I love Celiac Expert Association, and I would love it if you could help us continue our efforts in awareness activities on an international level. So donate a dollar, donate $10, and if you're a bazillionaire, donate $1 billion. It's all for a great cause, and what happens is we're able to teach on an international level, make awareness available for countries that are just starting to learn what celiac disease is and how it affects their people, as well as provide food and resources for people in need. So definitely reach out. Go to Celiac Sprue Association. Tell them I sent you. Love, 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 love them. And I fell upon a new organization that opened up in Boston, in Beantown. And I'm going to be talking with them in regards to some fun fundraising activities. But be on the lookout for Ball Strong. Yeah, are you ball strong? So it's all about prostate cancer. And it looks like it's going to be a blast to work with them a little bit and help them fundraise for, again, awareness and research and support for individuals with prostate cancer. So I am definitely ball strong. And we're going to make this happen. So wish me luck on that. I think it's going to be a blast. An exciting guest, Bill Ferguson. He hosts a series of relationship seminars. Don't say that one after a couple of glasses of wine. And he's been sponsored or featured on Oprah, and he was recommended by the Wall Street Journal. He has two books. One, How to Heal a Painful Relationship, which was a national bestseller. And his second one is Get Your Power Back. I'm totally excited about pulling him on and talking more about relationships and resolving the problem areas of our lives and love and pain. And if you're on my Facebook, you've read some of my writings, and I just think life is this beautiful adventure of the dichotomies and hypocrisies that we are. And accepting that and really embracing who you are as an individual makes it more of an adventure, this life, I think. But I'm sure Bill and I will have a great time talking about it. And if you're not speaking us at work and you're able to call in and ask questions, feel free. The number here, 347-205-9443. And as always, I just want to remind you, third reminder for the day, I am looking for sponsors. Help keep Living and Thriving series going. It's gained popularity all over the world. And the latest group of individuals is Chile. So welcome to my Chilean friends. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And if there's anything that you think could be improved with the show, let me know. Email me. I love reading your letters. I love reading. It always makes me so humble and teary-eyed whenever I read your letters because it's just so supportive, and I'm really living my dreams, so thank you. But I need some sponsors to help keep us running and going, and that would be awesome. So I'm going to pull Bill on. Hello, my friend Bill. How are you?
Hi there. I've been looking forward to this.
And we're going to have a blast.
Yes, I can't wait.
All right, great. So I got to stalk you, and yet nobody else probably did. They might have done a little quick peek, but why don't you start us out with who you are and what you do?
Okay, well, I used to be a divorce attorney. And as a divorce attorney, my focus was in having my clients heal their relationship one human being to another. And I became very good at it. Something like 15% of my clients never divorced, and of the 85% that did divorce, virtually all of them did it as friends. And I started out by, you know, looking at what creates and destroys love and relationships. And then I started seeing, well, it's not just about the experience of love in our relationships. It's about having that experience of love in all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started seeing what it is in us that really sabotages our life. And what I saw was that anytime, every time, there's an area of life that isn't working, there's always something under the surface that's causing it to not work. So all my focus now is about showing people how to live in the experience of love and how to have their lives work. And that's actually the natural state.
Okay, and do you apply this?
25 words or less. That's what I do. I do this.
25 words or less.
And I do the workshops, seminars, and write books, and work with people individually, and just do everything I can to get this message out in the world.
Okay, so when you were a little kid, you were like, I'm going to grow up and be this powerful divorce attorney, kicking Fanny, and then I'm going to turn into this really great guru of love and relationship. Fixing,
yeah, I sure didn't start out thinking that I was going to go this direction.
Okay. So tell us, what did you think you were going to be when you growed it up?
Well, I didn't know, but my focus was on making money. You know, I wanted to be a zillionaire.
Right.
And somewhere along the line I discovered that there were things that were a lot more valuable than that.
Right. Very cool. So what makes you tick? What inspires you? What gets you excited?
Well, my passion is if I can say something that can make a positive difference in somebody's life, then I come alive. And that's my passion. And I've been doing this work for literally over 30 years. And I closed my law practice in 85. So I've been doing this, you know, full-time for a long time. And I've just, you know, found some things that just make a very, very profound difference in somebody's life very, very quickly. And it's just my passion is having people discover these things.
Okay, so let's take it a step back. So you're this, you know, bazillionaire lawyer, you're rocking it, you have your own law firm. There had to have been an inspirational moment like that what I call a cosmic 2x4 from God that hits you right in the head and says, this is what you're supposed to be doing.
It really didn't work that way for me because,
really?
You know, back when I practiced law from the very beginning, I saw that I could either be an adversary or a peacemaker. And, you know, and I had a choice. And we live in a system of adversariness. And what I saw was that life is a lot more enjoyable when you're a peacemaker. And if I really wanted to take care of my clients, that was the best thing I could do for them. And that was my focus. And then there was a point where I realized that I just wanted to have all of my focus be on getting this message out in the world. So I closed my law practice.
Wow.
And I'd already started doing seminars on the side, mainly just for fun. And the seminars got bigger and bigger, and then I finally decided I'm just going to close the law practice. You know, and it took about 3 months to close it, but then I closed it and never looked back.
Wow, good for you.
You know, and then as I would speak this, just something about the truth. You know, when you speak the truth, the more you speak it, the more it gets revealed to you. So what I've done as a career is spend my whole life talking about love and healing, and in the process of that, I have learned a whole lot. And the more I speak it, the more gets revealed, and then I speak what gets revealed, and then I get more stuff revealed. So in the process of all of this, I've grown a lot, and the work has evolved dramatically.
So walk us through, I went through a messy divorce, and I'm in a, like, Clash of the Titans situation with my ex-husband in regards to relocation. And it's just, we're constantly in court, and it's constant abstinence, and just, it's crazy. How would you handle clients like that?
Okay, well first, I want to lay a little background. One thing to note is that there's the reality, there's the reality of life, and then there's our reality.
Right.
And the two
are either reality or our reality?
There's our reality and the reality.
Okay.
And the two realities absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Very true.
They're not even closely related. In the reality, things just are. What so is what so. What happened, happened. What is, period. That's
right.
The reality. Our reality consists of all the thoughts, the feelings, the emotion, the points of view, the opinions, the judgments, the stuff. So there's the truth, and then there's our stuff about it. And it's our stuff that shapes our actions and determines what happens in our lives.
Exactly right. So how do you remove the stuff?
Well, what I've discovered is that any time a relationship isn't working, anytime any area of life isn't working, no matter what that area is, that area of life will never, never, never be the problem. It will always be the symptom. And
exactly.
It's the symptom of an underlying condition. See, ultimately, anytime there's a relationship or an area of life that isn't working, there is a truth that we're fighting.
Right.
Something is in our life, it is the way that it is, and we're fighting it. See, if you can be at peace with the truth of the way something is, then automatically your focus is on, okay, given that's the truth, what do I need to do about it? And that's where life works. But if you look at any area of life that isn't working, notice the direction of focus. Instead of putting the focus on what do I need to do based on the facts, all the focus is on fighting the facts. And when we do that, we destroy our ability to find solutions, and we interact in a way that magnifies the problem and makes everything worse very, very quickly.
Oh, that's definitely the case in my situation. It's been everything escalated with him. He's just become worse.
That's the thing that I found is that no matter how difficult a situation is, we have the ability to make it much worse very, very quickly.
Oh, it was like an overnight thing. Really? This is crazy.
Yeah.
So what were your methods or your tools that you utilized while you were in practice to encourage a more peaceful, real life versus ego life?
Well, you need to heal the relationship. You need to heal the relationship. Anytime, let me give you a short course on relationships.
Okay, please, because I like just being single.
Well,
so much easier.
What I learned as a divorce attorney was on the surface was all the anger and the resentment and the upset and the bitterness, all the junk.
Yep.
And then always, always, always what was underneath all the upset was a tremendous amount of hurt.
Right.
And always what was under the hurt was the love. We wouldn't be upset if we didn't care. So one thing that I saw very quickly is that love never, 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 never is love enough to have a relationship work. The divorce courts are full of people that love each other. So if I want my relationship with you to be great, it's up to me. I need to make sure you feel loved. And this is true whether we're married, whether we're exes, whether we're neighbors, whatever it is. If I want my relationship with you to be great, it's up to me. I need to make sure you feel loved. If you feel loved by me, our relationship will be wonderful. If you feel unloved by me, our relationship would be a mess.
Right.
So it makes sense so far?
Makes sense.
Okay. Now, there's something that creates the experience of love, and there's something that kills it. What creates the experience of love is giving the gift of acceptance and appreciation. So as I genuinely accept and appreciate you just for who you are, just the way you are, how does it feel?
Oh, I love being loved. I love loving. So,
but it feels great. When somebody genuinely accepts you for who you are, you feel empowered.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you feel better about yourself. You feel better about life. Your walls of protection come down. And then automatically you feel better about the other person. So as I accept and appreciate you, automatically you become more accepting and appreciative of me. And then I feel empowered, and then I feel better about you, and you feel better about me, and I feel better about you. And then we create this cycle of loving, supporting, and empowering each other that brings out the best in everybody.
Right.
So as you give love, love always comes back. What destroys love is being non-accepting. You need to change. You're messed up. What's your problem? What's the matter with you? And as I become non-accepting, judgmental, critical towards you, you get hurt, you get upset, you put up your walls of protection, and then you give it right back to me. And then I get hurt, I get upset, and then I become more critical of you, you become more against me, I become more against you, you become more against me. And then we create that cycle of conflict, that cycle of hurting, attacking, withdrawing from each other that brings out the best and the worst in everybody. See, and that's
so,
what relationships.
Let's go to that list again. You went a little fast, and I just want to pull it back a little bit. So when you're in this state of love, for me, the piece was trust. It wasn't anything more than that. Once the trust was broken, that's when I got into that whole list of, you know, the attack, the withdrawal, that list. So give us, break it down for us even further in that particular area in regards to what do you mean by the attack? What do you mean by withdrawing? What do you mean by
the number one biggest killer of relationships is not being at peace with the truth of the way that somebody is.
Right. I agree.
That's the number one biggest killer. And clearly, there are some people who are very, what creates love is giving acceptance. And clearly, there are some people who are very difficult to accept. But acceptance is nothing more than surrendering to the truth. I have a cat that doesn't bark. Well, I can yell at the cat, I can scream at the cat, I can rationalize with the cat. It didn't make any difference because that cat's still not going to bark. If I can surrender to the truth that the cat just doesn't bark, and that's just the truth, then I can put my focus on, given that's the truth, what do I need to do? And that's what and that's where life works.
Right. So basically what you're saying, and I'm going to translate to make sure that I'm listening correctly, is letting go of your expectations of what this other person's supposed to be is what's going to not only heal, but will allow room for growth and love. And if
yes.
you're not able to do that, if you're not able to let go of those expectations of what you want this person to be or what you assume this person to be, that's where the conflict comes in. So,
that's right.
if you can't
be at peace with the truth of the way somebody is, you're going to destroy love and you're going to make everything worse very, very quickly.
Right. And ultimately,
what keeps us from being at peace with the truth, and what gets us upset is some nerves being triggered. So you and I've got this relationship, sparks are flying, everything's wonderful, and I've got all my hurt from the past that I carry into the relationship.
Right.
And that what happens is that no matter how wonderful you are, you will never be wonderful enough so as to not trigger my hurt from the past. And when that hurt gets triggered, I'm not going to notice that I've got a nerve that's being triggered. The only thing I'm going to notice is what triggered it, which is you. So I'm going to perceive you as a threat, which forces, and in that threat, since I'm threatened, the only thing I can do is fight or flight, either attack or withdraw. So literally, any time there's a relationship that isn't working, any time there's an area of life that isn't working, why it's not working is because some nerve's being triggered. Subconsciously, we're threatened. We can, instead of being at peace with the truth and focusing on what needs to be done, the focus is on fighting the truth, which magnifies it, destroys love, and makes everything worse very, very quickly.
So
literally,
it's just because this is how my mind works, it's one of those Pandora boxes. I don't know if you've listened to any of my other shows, but I'm like a curious little scientist. So in theory, because there is not a person on this planet that is not dinged, bruised, jabbed, sore, disappointed, shy, hurt. I mean, we come from dysfunction. We are walking hypocrisy, walking dichotomy. We are pure dysfunction. And for whatever reason, somewhere along the line, there was been this concept that we can be something that we're not. And in our dichotomy and in our imperfections, we're actually very perfect. So in this theory, what I'm hearing is really nobody should date. Nobody should get together because everybody's hurt in some way, shape, or form. Everybody has history. Everybody has baggage. Everybody has stuff that they bring into the relationship.
Yeah,
so in theory,
all that stuff can get healed.
Right.
All that can get healed. And see,
I agree.
Who we are. See, the thing that I've seen is the more destructive somebody is, the more suppressed hurt they got. And as you get rid of the hurt, the only thing that's left is love. And who we are, underneath all the hurt, underneath all the junk, who we are is pure love, pure creation, pure possibility. And as we bring that presence of love, that experience of love through us into our life, life works incredibly. When the experience of love is present, you're happy, you're alive, you're free, you feel good about yourself, you feel good about life. The circumstances of life have no power. We radiate a very positive energy, and great things happen around us. And that's the natural state.
Amen. So this is where I gotta pause you for a second. This is where you get to shamelessly plug yourself and let over 200,000 people on an international level know where to find you and ask you more questions and send you letters and buy your books and go to your seminars and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Go to masteryoflife.com.
Okay. Masteryoflife.com.
Yeah.
And it
goes over all this stuff. There's a lot of really great articles on the site, and it just walks you through the process of having your life be great. And then, we've got our bookstore and the different things we offer for people. And another thing is we have a free e-course where you get a lesson a week, and it's ongoing, and it literally it walks you through the process of transforming your life. It's very, very powerful, and it doesn't cost anything. You can get that on the website.
Very cool. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty, and I'm so excited to have Bill Ferguson on. We're talking about life, love, and all of the things in between. And he is an author, a speaker, an ex-divorce attorney, and just all-around cool guy. So call in if you get a chance, or reach out to masteryoflife.com and send him a letter. Write him a note. Let him know how he did today. And if you have any questions for him, you can either reach me and I can reach out to him, or you can reach him. I'm on the road, so I don't actually know the phone number to call into the show, so you'll have to look on the screen on your phone or on your computer screen so that you can dial in and ask questions. So, Bill.
Yes.
Talk to me about one euphoric moment, one case where you just, and we've all had them, We've all had cases like this, but where you just didn't think that it was going to turn into a positive. You're like, okay, that's it. I'm done. Well, I'm going to give it one more shot.
Gosh. I can tell you an interesting story.
Perfect.
Years ago, I did programs in the county jail, and I did a program. I did it twice a month for about 5 years. And the people that I worked with most of them were there for murder. And before I did any program with the inmates, I had to first do it for the sheriff's department. And I remember I was doing it in the jail, and I remember the workshop was so hard because the sheriff's officers, their walls were so thick. And I remember it, the break in the workshop, just saying, gosh, the walls are so thick, I want to get out of here. And then I walked by one of the walls of the jail, and the wall of the jail was literally like about 2.5 feet thick. And I'm thinking, how ironic that the wall was as thick as their walls. Well, right. Anyway, we kept on going, and at the end, I did an acknowledgement exercise where you would get a partner, and then you would tell your partner all the things that you really appreciate about your partner, that you liked about the partner. And here were all these men that really cared for each other, but in that macho environment, they could never allow themselves to say it. Well, all of a sudden, they were given an environment where they were able to express their love to each other. They probably didn't use the love word, but they were able to acknowledge each other and tell each other things they liked and appreciated about each other. And you could see the walls melt. And a lot of them had tears in their eyes, and they hugged each other. And it was just such a moving experience because it was such a contrast from thick, thick, thick walls to their being totally open and vulnerable with each other. And it was just a beautiful experience. And it was just another demonstration of how when you get past the junk, what's left is the same for everybody. And it's that state of pure love, pure creation, pure possibility. And then as we bring that forth, life really does work.
Life is beautiful, and you're going to trip up on your junk. You know, In my writings, I developed this place called the emotional quagmire, and that's where we keep all of our junk. And it's an ugly place, and it's overrun for a lot of people. But it's our safe place, which is ironic. We feel safer in our emotional quagmire of junk than we do in our purposeful, happy, positive place. So what are some of the tools that you have?
Yes, hello?
Hello. What are some of the tools that you would offer in regards to getting rid of our junk?
Well, let's first talk about what the junk is.
Go for it.
See, we're born pure love, but we're born into a dysfunctional world. We're born into a world that kills love. So every one of us experiences very, very, very painful losses of love. And as a little child, the only way we can explain these painful losses of love is to blame ourselves. Clearly, I'm the problem. And then we decide very specifically what that problem is. I'm not good enough. I'm not worth loving. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. I'm this. I'm that. And it is never, never, never the truth. But in the eyes of a little child, it becomes our truth. And then we spend the whole rest of our life running from it.
Right.
And if any circumstance comes along and hints that we really are worthless, not good enough, not worth loving, or whatever, that circumstance will be perceived subconsciously as a major threat to our survival. So to avoid this hurt, we operate in a state of fear, upset, and tunnel vision. The tunnel vision, since we're threatened, destroys our ability to see what works. It destroys our ability to find solutions. And since we perceive ourselves to be threatened, now in reality we're not threatened at all, because this hurt is just a combination of thoughts and feelings. There's nothing threatening about it in reality. But subconsciously, anything that triggers this hurt or may trigger this hurt is a threat to our survival. So subconsciously, all of our focus is on how do I make people in life be a certain way. So to avoid that threat, we have to either attack or withdraw. Fight, resist, hang on, withdraw. So every bit of our destructive behavior comes out of this underlying tunnel vision. And every area of life that doesn't work, every self-sabotaging behavior pattern, every area of life where we suffer can be traced to the automatic subconscious avoidance of this hurt. And until we heal the hurt, we're going to be forced to continue avoiding it in the same way, which will force us to repeat the past. So the same negative things will keep showing up over and over and over and over and over. And the negative things that show up in one person's life over and over and over are going to be totally different than what shows up in the next person's life over and over and over. They're different because each person has a different set of nerves that we run from. But the nerves destroy our lives, and they can all be healed because they're never based on fact. They're just stuff that got made up as a child and magnified.
And I agree to that to some point. You know, I think there are situations that are not made up. You know, abuse is very prevalent, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or financial abuse. And that's not something that you can necessarily
control.
Well,
the circumstances are all very, very real. There's no doubt about that. The circumstances are very, very real. The decisions that we make out of it, that's
our creation. The stories that we hold on to. Got it. So the emotional pieces, the fear, the anger, the resentment, the misunderstandings.
Everything you just said is pure avoided hurt.
There you go.
Give me an example of this. You know, years ago I was in a department store and there was a mother and daughter shopping. The little girl was about 4, and she spilled her drink, which is something 4-year-olds do. And the mother got real upset and started screaming at the little girl saying, "What's the matter with you? Why are you so stupid?"
Yep.
How many times is this precious little girl going to hear that before she believes it?
You know? Right, exactly.
So the little girl, particularly if the mother says it all the time, the little girl cannot help but create the belief that she's stupid because she doesn't have the wisdom to know that her mom's got a problem. So she can't help but internalize it. She'll create the belief that she's stupid. Her mother clearly did what she did, but she bought it. She created the belief that she was stupid, and then she fought the belief that she created, and she fought all the emotion that went with it, which then magnified it out of proportion.
I actually have a story from this past summer, a very similar situation, and I was with my daughter, and this was one of those moments where you kind of wipe your forehead going, "I'm doing it right, thank God," because children don't come with a manual, you know. And I'm a full-time single parent, and so this was one of those moments where I felt like I'm doing this parenting thing right. So we're at this place that I go running. It's a natural park preserve, and there was a woman with her daughter fishing. And the little girl was trying to get the fish off, and she was probably 6 or 7, I mean, just a little person. And she was trying to get the fish off the hook, and the mother started screaming at her, "You need to use your pliers, you moron." And my daughter, her face just went flat, you know. Her eyes went big, and her mouth dropped open, and she's like, "Mom, that poor little girl, do you think she'll ever be okay as an adult, or do you think she'll always think she's stupid?"
And every one of us has got the exact same thing going on.
Yeah.
And if we don't get it from our parents, we're going to get it from school. But you get it somewhere.
Amen to that.
We don't realize it, but literally our whole life is about running from this hurt. And in relationships, you do what you do strikes a nerve in me. subconsciously I'm threatened, I think you're the problem, I put up my walls of protection, that I become non-accepting, judgmental, critical towards you, I act destructively towards you, and then that strikes your nerve. And then you react negatively, which strikes my nerve, which strikes your nerve, and it's back and forth like ping pong.
And then it's just, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 in divorce fees later.
Yes. Well, the thing that I've discovered is that the cycle in a cycle of conflict cannot exist with one person. It is physically impossible to have a cycle of conflict with one person. If you've got a cycle of conflict, it's giving non-acceptance, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like a tennis volley. Going, it only takes one person to end it. Back when I was a divorce attorney, I only worked with one person, my client. Very rarely did I ever even see the other person. But when my clients changed how they related towards the other person, it changed how the other person responded in return. See, and that's where you get power in relationships and in life.
Right.
We go through life trying to change people and change lives, trying to change what's outside of us. But what's outside of us is never the problem, it's the symptom. Where you make the change, where you get your power, is not by looking outside, it's by looking inside. And one of the keys is being able to surrender to the truth, because when you can surrender to the truth of the way a situation is, then you can put your focus on, okay, given that's the truth, I don't like it that that's the truth, but given that's the truth, what do I need to do about it? See, and that's where life works.
I think what is most intriguing about this conversation is the fact that really what you're basically saying is own your stuff. Be real with who you are, be authentic, be true, and understand that you are walking in your own stuff. And
yes.
In order to really be fulfilled, to be prosperous, to be happy, we need to heal from that stuff. But here comes the dichotomy. The interesting piece about being human is once we heal from that stuff and we get to round two or round three or whatever round we're on in life, more stuff comes.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, the thing that I found is that see, part of what we're here for is to grow.
Absolutely.
And if you didn't have difficult times, you would never grow. So difficult times are brought to us. They're brought to us for our healing. They're brought to us for our growth. They force us to look at things that we need to look at, but we would never look at. They put our issues in our face so that we can heal them. They kick us out of the nest. They get us ready for our future. See, difficult times are brought to us for our good. But another thing about difficult times is they are always, always, always temporary. Difficult times come and go. The question is, how fast? See, and when you can flow with the difficult time, the time comes and goes very quickly. When you fight the difficult time, it moves very, very slowly.
Well, and it's so funny because the listeners know me very, very well. And I was this scrappy little redhead fighting the universe when I was born. My whole lesson in this lifetime, I swear, is to stop fighting. Stop being the scrappy little kid against the universe. And
yes.
So that's my largest lesson that I've been learning in life. And I'm 380 now, so I'm getting it. But people don't understand that once you just let it go, you toss it, you just, you know, you be at peace with it. How physical, emotional, mental relief you are. And then when you come up to it again, so, for example, in my personal experience, I've had one abusive relationship after another, and I'm getting really, really, really good at realizing that pattern now. So if there's someone that enters my life that is very negative and very abusive, I pick up on it right away instead of what I normally do, which is think that I'm going to heal everybody and fix everybody's problems and that mother hen aspect of my personality. that comes from acknowledging, owning my stuff and saying, oh,
yes,
these are patterns. This is who I am. This is where I came from. This is what I want. This is, you know, the authentic me. So let me let this stuff go. And the words sound easy. The work is hard. But when you graduate from that lesson, it's amazingly beautiful. I swear I shaved off 15 years just on my face alone from the stress. It was like,
oh, it,
ooh,
yes.
15 years younger. It's amazing.
Yes, and the key is to let go and allow yourself to be human.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's because in your humanness is your love, and in your love is the power of the universe.
Absolutely.
You know, we work so hard to become a success and become good enough and become worthy and become all these things, thinking that that will somehow create love. But do you ever love somebody because they're worthy or successful or good enough? Never. If you look at what melts your heart, it's when somebody allows himself to be human, when somebody sheds a tear, when somebody allows himself to be vulnerable.
Vulnerability factor, yeah.
That's what creates love.
It's true.
You see, but we won't let anybody see our humanness, because to us, we equate our humanness with our worthlessness. See, you can't see who I really am, because if you really see who I am, you'll see that I'm really worthless, not good enough, or whatever, and then you won't love me anymore.
You and see, that actually takes a long time, I think, especially for women. I cannot speak for a man at all, so you can help me there. But for women, Lord, we have a boatload of that inner gelatinous, self-loathing stuff. And a lot of it's community environmentally driven throughout our childhood. You know, you've got too big of arms and flappy arms and fat this, and you're not, you know, you walk like a bull in heels. And, like, there's just this perpetual criticism that females watch, even on TV when we're looking at models, they're not even real. You know, if you see these models on TV in real life, they don't look like what they look like on TV because the filters and so
forth. It's not real, yeah.
It's not real. But we, especially women and girls, you know, we get inundated with that stuff. So it's very difficult, I think, for us to shake off. It's a lot of work, I think, to shake off that self.
Well, there's something a little bit deeper. You know, because ultimately all the things that we're critical of ourselves, you know, why we become critical ultimately is because of that hurt, that childhood hurt of worthless, not good enough, that sort of thing. Literally, every time we get upset, ultimately, why we get upset is because some very specific nerve is being triggered. And it's the fighting it that gives it all of its power.
Okay.
See, in reality, it would be physically impossible for someone to be worthy, worthless, good enough, not good enough, success, failure, because these things are all relative. They're judgments. You
right,
can search
exactly.
The whole world over for a good enough, and you'll never find one. And if you did find one, what color would it be and how much would it weigh?
Right. But
see, these things only exist in our mind.
Right.
But in our mind, no judgment exists in reality. Judgment only exists in our mind in the realm of thinking. But in the realm of thinking, all judgment exists. So in the realm of thinking, we're worthy and we're worthless. We're smart and we're stupid. We're brave and we're coward. We're success and we're failure. And if there's any aspect of us that we're not at peace with, that's going to run our life, because we're going to have to go through life trying to prove it's not true. And then the running from it creates the state of fear, upset, and tunnel vision. It forces us to sabotage that area of life. And life will forever keep bringing to us and putting in our face the very hurt we're running from. So if somebody's got an issue with rejection or abandonment, the hurt that's underneath that almost always is not worth loving. As long as they run